Good morning, everybody, and welcome again out to the bush. I want to sing another song for you to begin with, and if you're alone or with your family at home, and you're not in a group setting, you can take your mask off, even if you have it on, and sing with me. It goes like this. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Can we just say, praise the Lord? Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on us. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. Sometimes we take it for granted, but praise you and thank you for your blessings on all of us. It's so good to be able to lift our voices in praise. God is really, really a good, good Father. Well, today I want to move around in the Bible a little bit, so I want to begin with the book of Revelations, chapter 2. Jesus is giving some instruction to a group of churches. His instructions are addressed to a local church, and I believe that he speaks to a local church and a generational church. So I believe that generational church in time that he's speaking to can easily apply to us. Today I want to talk about one church, focus on one church, and that's the church at Ephesus. But first, let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the day. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for another beautiful day. I know a big change is coming, but thanks for holding that off until we can get this recorded. So, Lord, help us to honor you in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's begin with verses 1 through 5 of Revelation chapter 2. The Bible says, to the angel of the church in Ephesus write, the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks among the seven golden lampstands. We know who that is. I know your works, your toil, your patient endurance, and how you could not bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. This is an amazing church. They are amazingly powerful. They are strong. They have done so many things right. But there's an important distinction here. These people were amazingly powerful. Something happened. Verse number 4. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Well, what's going on? Did they fall into wrong teaching? Did Satan get in the church and tear it to shreds? Well, to be honest with you, we don't know what happened. But let me make a suggestion of what could have happened. The people in the church at Ephesus could have just retired. Yes, they were strong, but now they're just ready to relax. They were once highly motivated to follow Jesus, but now they just kind of want to sit back on their blessed assurance and relax. For some reason, they could have lost their desire to be a part of God's amazing work in the world. Now, I wouldn't think that the ancient church in Ephesus would have retired. But if this is a generational application, which it could very well be, then it would for sure apply to us in our affluency in our social services. And I think when people retire, unfortunately, a lot of people retire on their pursuit of the relationship with Jesus. Let me just say this. Unfortunately, there's a lot of people, even if they're not retired, who pull back from pursuing their relationship with Jesus. And as far as I'm concerned, that's a dangerous place to be in. And I think Jesus would agree. Listen to what he says in verse number 5. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent, and do the works that you did at first. In other words, get back to the days when you were excited to push the boundaries for Jesus. Get back to trusting God and pushing forward with your faith. This is no place to sit back and just relax. But Jesus goes on and he says, if not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place, unless, of course, you repent. So may I give you Tony's translation of that? Unless you get back to where you started, Jesus will remove your influence and let you wither away to nothing. This would be a sad epitaph on the life of victory in Jesus. So, what does it mean to go back and do the things that you started with? What does that look like? Well, go with me to John chapter 12, and I'm going to show you a few things that it just might have looked like when Jesus was your complete and absolute focus. In John 12, Jesus had just raised Lazarus from the dead. The whole place was going absolutely crazy. Everybody wanted to see Jesus. Everybody wanted to hear Jesus talk. Everybody wanted to see Jesus do something. So it was at this time, Jesus, 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 everyone's focus was Jesus. Not on religion, not on the past, not on denominations, not on conspiracy theories or coronavirus, not on any of the circumstances of the world. Everyone's focus was on Jesus. Jesus was the only one who mattered. So what does it look like? Well, the chapter begins with Jesus returning to the house of Mary and Martha. Oh, and you remember Lazarus that Jesus raised from the dead? Well, he was there too. Now, watch closely in verse number 3. Then Mary took a 12-ounce jar of expensive perfume made from the essence of nard, and she anointed Jesus' feet with it, wiping his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with fragrance. What in the world did Mary just do? Listen, I believe this is pure, unhindered worship. Some people would say, listen, I just never would do that. Come on now, some of you did that when the Beatles came through. But Mary showered her worship and her adoration on Jesus, who was the God in flesh, the only one who deserves that kind of worship. That's what it looks like when you get back to do the very first things after you trusted Christ. But also when Jesus is the main focus, people will flock to him. Look at verse number 9. When all the people heard of Jesus' arrival, they flocked to see him and also to see Lazarus, the man Jesus had raised from the dead. Yes, Jesus was there and Lazarus was there. But let me ask you something. Where would Lazarus be if it were not for Jesus? Well, the truth is, Lazarus wouldn't be there, so the focus really is completely on Jesus. Just a little bit later on, we see where those people who are gathering together actually begin to start believing in Jesus. And again, that's what happens when we make Jesus our central focus. There's something else that happens when Jesus is our main focus. The religious hypocrites get angry and even vicious. As you know, the Pharisees, which were the religious hypocrites, had already planned to kill Jesus. Now they get Lazarus, the man that Jesus raised from the dead, and he's on their hit list. It's amazing what religious people will do when their hypocrisy has been exposed. Also, the religious people just might start pouting. Yeah, that's right. They might start pouting. Look at verse number 19. Then the Pharisees said to each other, listen to them, there's nothing we can do. Look, everyone has gone after him. Not a pretty picture for religious leaders. But then the multitude began to gather, and they shouted their praises to Jesus. The Bible says that as Jesus worked his way towards Jerusalem, he mounted a young donkey for his trip. The people in town heard he was coming, so they went and got palm leaves, and they spread them out in front of him, and they started shouting, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, all because Jesus is the main focus. Jesus is who everybody wants to hear and see. Everybody wants to see him, hear him, and see him do something. I believe that's what it looks like when Jesus is the main focus, when we push aside the distractions and the entrapments of religiosity and make Jesus our central focus and him alone, things happen. Are you ready to go there? Just before we make that decision to go all out for Jesus, I want you to go back with me and look at a couple of things that Jesus did just after he returned to Jerusalem. Jesus and his disciples entered that infamous upper room. All eyes were on Jesus, their Lord and their teacher. He then stands. He takes his robe off. He wraps a towel around his body, and he bows before each of his disciples and washes their feet. He then says, what I have done, you now do to each other. You see, humility is the atmosphere when Jesus is the main focus of our lives. Let me say it again. Ultimate humility is the atmosphere when Jesus is the main focus of our lives. That's what he did. We are to be just like him. But there's a couple other things I want to look at. Jesus gives his followers a simple but profound command in verse number 34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. You and I are to love and honor each other in the same profound and sacrificial way that Jesus loved us. Did I say sacrificial? Yes, sacrificial, that's putting other people beyond and above ourselves. There's no question about the love of Jesus for us. We can see that in what he did for us. There should be no question in our love for each other. It should be very, very obvious. Then Jesus tells his followers to do one final thing in verses 19 and 20, or actually Luke chapter 22, verses 19 through 20. And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And likewise the cup after they had eaten, saying, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." And he wanted them to do the same thing with him. So let's prepare to do what Jesus told us to do. So reach over and pause your video and go to the kitchen, get you some bread and some juice if you happen to have it. And let's take communion together, just as Jesus said to do. As we take communion today, let me just say, please don't allow this special moment to be just a tradition. Sometimes we get into the routine of traditions and we can do it without even thinking about it. We are going to consider going back to our very beginning and doing the things that we did when we first began to love and follow Jesus. Let this be a life-changing moment to go back and begin again in the simplicity of our love and complete surrender for Jesus. So as we do this, let's remember him and let's begin again when we first surrendered our lives to Jesus. Father, thank you for this chance to take communion. Again, this connects all the way back to you, and we're sharing this with those who are watching and attending through video. So, Father, we pray that you're glorified as we remember Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus took the bread, and he told his disciples, "Do this in remembrance of me." And then Jesus took the cup and passed it around. And as we said, Jesus said, "This is the new covenant in my blood. So do this as we remember him." Thank you, Father, for Jesus. Thank you for this simple time of remembrance. Help us now, Lord, to lay all the distractions in our lives aside and go back to the beginning and do those first things as Jesus instructed the church at Ephesus to do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome back, everyone. Just a couple of closing comments. We begin our day today by talking about the Church of Ephesus that, for whatever reason, had stepped back from their foundations with Jesus Christ. And Jesus gave them instructions and said, go back and do the things that you first did. For whatever reason, they had stepped back from the relationship. And perhaps there's some of us that have done that, whether you're a retiree or whether you're not a retiree, you've just decided to pull back from that, what it was like when you first met Jesus. Well, let me leave a quote with you from one of my heroes of the faith. His name was Brother Lester Roloff. He was an old Texas evangelist, and when they were quizzing him about retiring, he says, "I have no desire to retire, but only to refire." And I believe that's exactly what you and I should do, don't you think? But as we do that, make sure that you keep your eyes fully and completely on Jesus.